Before we jump into this final message of crossing the barriers, building bridges between us and God, I want to ask a quick question as we prepare for this Lenten season. Has anybody ever been in a place where you're just at the end of your rope, where you've got nothing left? A couple of honest people. Most of us have probably been there, right? Does anybody know anybody who's at that point where they're just at the end of the rope? There's just nothing left. All right. I want to encourage you, and for those listening online as well, to encourage you. Next week as we begin the Lenten season, we're going to be spending that season looking at what does Jesus say to those people who just have nothing left, who are at the end of their rope, who are, you know, we say, just hang on for a little bit longer. And Jesus has a different answer. And so we're going to be looking at that starting next week. So if you are out online and want to share it with people, if you're here and want to invite people, I encourage you to do that as we begin next week, especially those who desperately need a touch from God in this season. For now, let's turn to Mark chapter 8 as we wrap up this series, Barriers to Bridges, and look specifically today at the barrier of our perceptions, beginning in Mark 8, verse 22. Jesus and his disciples came to Bethsaida. Some people brought a blind man to Jesus and begged him to touch and heal him. Taking the blind man's hand, Jesus led him out of the village. After spitting on his eyes and laying his hands on the man, he said to him, "Do you see anything?" And then the man looked up and said, "I see people, and they look like trees, only they're walking around." And then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again. He looked with his eyes wide open, and his sight was restored, and he could see everything clearly. And then Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't go into the village." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
This may be one of the most unusual healing stories in the Gospels, if for no other reason, because it's the only healing that takes two tries. And I don't believe that Jesus needs two tries to do anything. He could have very easily solved it the first time. So why do we have this story? Why did Jesus make this point, this gradual healing for this man? And I think this story Jesus is using to demonstrate a lesson to his disciples. Because if we go back earlier in chapter 8, we realize that the disciples struggle to fully see. They see a lot. They know Jesus. They know who he is, but not everything is fully clear just yet. Just like this man after the first attempt at healing. Back at the beginning of chapter 8, we find this question that the disciples are worried that they didn't bring enough bread with them. They didn't bring enough with them to travel. And they're worried that Jesus is going to be upset with them because they had forgotten to prepare. And Jesus responds, and he questions them. He says, "How much bread do you have?" And they say, "We've got 7 loaves. And the 4,000 are fed." Jesus says, "If 4,000 people were fed with 7 loaves, how much do you need? How many baskets were left over?" And then he reminds them of an earlier time that we talked about last week when there were 5,000 people and only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he's asking them, "Don't you remember when I fed these 5,000 with just these few loaves? How much do you need? Why are you so worried about not having enough?" And after they answered Jesus' questions, "Yes, we had 7 loaves left, 7 baskets left over. We had 12 baskets left over." And Jesus says, "And you still don't understand." And then they encounter this blind man. Now before that whole incident, before the feeding of the 4,000, before this question of having enough bread, there was another healing story, and it was a deaf man in the end of chapter 7. And if you look at the story of the healing of the deaf man and the healing of the blind man, they're almost identically parallel. In both cases, it begins with a friend who brings the person to Jesus. You see, sometimes when we're deaf and blind, we don't realize that there's even a possibility to be healed. We don't necessarily think to come to Jesus on our own. There's a lot of people out there in the world who desperately need a touch from God, but they're not going to wake up one Sunday morning and say, "Hey, I just need to go to church because Jesus will heal me." They need a friend to come and bring them to Jesus. And so both the healing of the deaf man in the end of chapter 7 and the healing of the blind man here in chapter 8 begin with this friend who comes and brings the person for healing. In both cases, Jesus brings them away from the crowd. In both cases, he touches them in some way. Deaf man, he puts his fingers in the man's ears and touches him. And then in the blind man, again, he spits and he lays his hands on the man's eyes. In both cases, there is a physical touch from Jesus. And then in both cases, they are sent forth and told not to tell anyone what happens. But there's one key difference between these two stories. The one is that when the deaf man was healed, it only took one shot. One touch, and he could hear clearly. And he could speak, and he wanted to go out and share the good news. He began to speak clearly and eager to speak this good news. The blind man, on the other hand, was touched, but he could only see in this blurry way. His perception wasn't clear. He had vision, but not sight. He couldn't see exactly the details of who he was looking at. He said the people looked like trees. And I always wondered, how does he know what trees look like? But that's for another day. There's this sense in which hearing and speaking is so much easier to come by than sight. Because, you know, we can hear God's word and we can repeat it. We're really good at hearing something and repeating something. Just look at our social media feeds. We've got a little button that says share. Boom. We don't even have to know what it means. We don't know where it comes from. We don't care. We just share. We hear it. We speak it. We send it out. We do the same thing in our verbal communication. We hear something, we speak it. We're good at that. That's a quick healing process. Now, the harder part may be whether or not we're willing to stop to evaluate what it is we're hearing and whether or not what we're hearing actually ought to be shared or spoken. That's a whole other issue that we're not really good at. But we can hear and we can speak very easily. Seeing, on the other hand, not so easy. And the disciples knew this all too well. Because, you see, all of the book of Mark up until this point had been about the question of who is Jesus. And the disciples had seen so much. They had experienced the touch, this first touch that this man experiences. They have seen who Jesus is. They have seen that he is the one who calms the wind and the waves. They've seen that he is the one who casts out demons. Earlier on in Mark, there's this question, who is this man who can calm the wind and the waves, and even the seas obey him? And they don't really answer the question until the next chapter. And the one who answers the question, the first one in the Gospel of Mark to say who Jesus is the demons that we read about a few weeks ago in Gerasene, in the demoniac. Because they say, "Oh Lord, Son of the Most High God, stay away from us. What do you have to do with us?" They're the ones who identify who he is first. The disciples have seen all of this. They've been given insight, they've been given vision, and yet still here, when they're worried about whether or not they have enough food among them, there's something missing. Their sight is still blurry. Their perception is still unclear. And I think sometimes, if we're not careful, we settle too easily for this vision that's just good enough, but not really perceiving the whole truth of a situation, of what's going on. We're too quick to say, "Yeah, I see just fine," without really digging into it, without really figuring out what's going on. We're the ones who are healed. We get the vision. We see the people. They look like trees. And we think, okay, great. There's a forest here. I can see it now. I'm good. Let's go. Let's go hang out in the forest. But you know what we use trees for? Well, we can chop them down for wood and building fires. We can build our homes out of them. We can use them for shade. And trees have a lot of great purposes, don't they? But what happens when those trees turn out to be people and we didn't see? We chop them down just as quickly. We want to use them for our own benefit, just like we would trees. When we don't perceive properly, all of a sudden we treat people like objects. And they become nothing more than those things that we can use as resources to build ourselves up. Resources to build our church, or resources to help us feel better about ourselves and our relationships, resources to help us out when we're down, using people so that we don't feel lonely. We use people in so many different ways, and we've been used by people in so many different ways. And one of the reasons that we have this problem of using people as objects rather than seeing people as beloved children of God is because we haven't waited around for that second touch. Because we can see, but we don't perceive what God sees. We have this big vision, but we still don't see clearly. I'll admit, I'm one of the first when it comes to sight to say, it's good enough. I don't wear glasses. I don't wear contacts. I have a pair of glasses that I use occasionally for driving at night when it's dark, only because it helps with the glare. That doesn't mean I don't necessarily need to wear them more often. It just means that the DMV, when I take the test for my license, put on my card that says, you can see well enough to drive. And so far as I'm concerned, if the state certifies me and says, you can see well enough, then that's good enough for me, right?
No.
No.
Maybe for you, but not the other
people. Maybe not for the other people. The state tells me I can see well enough. And see, I think we're good at that. We're good at saying, hey, we're in church every week. We have studied the Bible all our lives. We can see this Jesus pretty well. We can see good enough. But maybe you make a good point, Susanna. What does that mean to those out there? When we think we see so well, then how's that going to affect others around us? When we think we see so clearly what's in this word, and how does that affect others around us? When we hear it and we go and speak it and spout it off in ways that don't sound anything like the ways that Jesus taught, in ways that are hateful and harmful to others, in ways that take advantage of others or put others down, that maybe in our partial sight we do more harm than good. Jesus didn't need to take a second chance to heal. He could have done it all at once. But he needed the disciples, and he needed us to understand that just because we think we can see doesn't mean we have the whole picture. There's a reason that Jesus said, where two or three are gathered, there I am. There's a reason that Jesus created the church and the community and did not establish a religion in which every individual could just sort of have their little private alcove with God. Because part of seeing clearly involves seeing one another. Not as trees, but as individuals who God loves. And it's only when we stop long enough to hear the stories of others. One of the most beautiful experiences you can have with other believers is just to sit down in a room of coffee, whatever, and have everybody share their story about how they came to know Christ. amazing the differences that you'll find. Maybe not always if it's just a group of people you know that have all grown up in the same church together and you all kind of have the same story, you know, you were all in the same Sunday school class, you all heard it from the same place. And maybe that might get a little dry after a while. Maybe that's the only story we've heard. But when you start branching out to people all around the world, and the reasons that they came to know Christ, the influences that drew them, or maybe even hearing the things that caused them to stay away, the things that are in their lives that are so painful that say, I don't want any parts of a God like that. Until we start hearing those stories, until we start seeing people for who they are, instead of as objects of people who need to be converted and won over, to think like us and believe like us. See, that's when we see them as trees. We just want to get them to do what we want them to do. But when we really hear them, we start to realize just how big God is. We start to see people as people, and we start to see people as created in the image of God. And we start to realize that the image of God is so much bigger and more creative than we ever dreamed possible. And we find a new kind of love in our hearts, the kind of love that God has for every single human being that walks this earth. And that's the sight that we long for. That's the clear perception that we need. Immediately after this healing, Mark's gospel shifts directions. Up until this point, it's all been about who is Jesus. And they're still not fully seeing it. They still don't see it 100% clearly. But then they come to Caesarea Philippi right after this, a Roman town where there are idols all carved in the wall of the stone wall of the caves and major town of emperor worship in Rome. And Jesus asks that question one last time, who do people say that I am? They say some John, some say Elijah, other prophets. And then he says, who do you say that I am? And finally, Peter sees. And he says, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the sent one, the anointed one from God who will save us. But even then, even then later on, when it gets to his final moments, when Jesus is going to the cross, Peter isn't so sure he saw clearly. Even then, even with this touch from God, even with this revelation, and you know what? We don't even have to go all the way to the cross when Peter denies. We only have to go a few verses later. When Jesus starts talking about the cross, he says, hey, I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be killed by the legal experts. And 3 days later, I'm going to rise from the dead. And Peter didn't even hear that rise from the dead part. He's just like, oh, Lord, that can't be. Still, he's not seeing clearly. He knows. He sees clearly enough to know Jesus is the Messiah. And maybe we do too. But when it comes to the necessity of the cross, not only for Jesus, but for ourselves, to be willing to lay down our lives for one another and for the world, do we see clearly? Maybe this is why we walk away after that first healing. It's so much easier to walk through a forest of beautiful snow-covered trees than it is through a crowd of annoying, obnoxious people, isn't it? I'd much rather walk away, to walk out of this room and say, God, you've shown me. I see so clearly. It's so beautiful in here, lit by the sun through the stained glass windows. All the people that I know and love and make me feel warm and fuzzy. I see so clearly. We want to go out the door and back to our normal lives and put these little blinders on. We don't want to see anybody else until we come back to our safe place. And Jesus is saying, your perception is not quite right. You may think you can see good enough and you don't. Let me open the eyes of your heart to see every person the way I see them. That the barrier of perception may be torn down. and that by building bridges with others, you might build bridges back to the Father. For as we love one another, so we love God. And as we refuse to love one another, so we are unable to love God. We can't separate it. The way we treat people and the way we say we feel about God, they cannot be separated. And if we think they can, our perception is still blurred. And we might need a saving touch. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, in some way we have all been touched by your healing hand. In some way we have all had that moment in our lives where we have seen that you are Lord. Otherwise we wouldn't be here. But Lord, many of us have come to that place of being content and saying that's enough. We don't need to see it anymore. We believe in you. That's better than most people out there. So just leave us alone. Let us go on our way. But you invite us to receive that second touch. You invite us not to accept that people are just like trees, but rather to have the eyes of our hearts open that we may see people as you see them. And so, Lord, help us to come this morning to receive that second touch. Open the eyes, not just of our minds and our opinions and our thoughts, the eyes of our hearts, that our perception may be clear, that we may truly know who you are. We ask all this in the precious name of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Spirit.